for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 14th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, October the 27th, 2010. Tom Stone is the speaker of this service, teaching on Sons of God.
Brother Tom Stone is going to come and minister to us this afternoon. Brother Tom is, Tom and Diane have been with this ministry for many years. And Tom is the only other person, I've known two people in my life, that can take any scripture, preach on it, and turn it into a deliverance service. Irma was the other one, so.
Hallelujah.
So praise the Lord, Brother Tom Stone. Brother Jim, did you have anything to say?
Okay. All right.
Well, I want to tell you right now, I praise God for Him setting me free. Amen. Because I was a mess before God got a hold of me.
Amen.
And you know, what He's done for me, I want Him to do for other people. It's not for my pride. It's not for my gain. It's not for anything that personally belongs to Tom Stone. But I want to tell you, I want to serve the living King, the living God, the one that can restore, the one that is the conqueror, the one as the defender, the one that is my shield, my buckler, and Him will I trust. And in the name of Jesus, you know, when you run unto Him, He is a high tower, and the righteous shall be saved. I'm telling you right now, God is God, and God wants to be God to each and every one of us, but we just got to allow Him. He's not going to force His will on anyone in this room. He's wanting to become a friend. He's wanting to be your brother. He's wanting to be your father. He's wanting to be your husband. He's wanting to be everything in for you. And I'm telling you what, He'll do it graciously. He'll do it graciously. There's so many things that I could say. I usually just minister to the men, and so I'm gonna have to pray and get out of man mentality. Now, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask You just to come, God, and minister to the people. Lord, we just ask You to show Yourself mightily, and we just praise and glorify You in the mighty name of Jesus. Before I get started, I want to just mention one thing. Brother Glenn has started writing a book. You want to become the manifested sons of God. Really? Really? You know, and you start reading all that, and there's no way that you can do it without Christ. There's no way. I mean, you've got to submit from the top to the bottom, inside and out. And He's given us some regulations and some guidelines to live by. You know, but somehow the church has taken those guidelines and distorted them. You know, trying to say, no, they're null effect. I beg your pardon. He's got a little book that it's coming out pretty soon. I don't know. When's it coming out, Linda? You've been working on it some? Don't know? There's one or two more sessions on it. But right now, he's got 42 verses that's in the Bible that are His commandments, His statutes, and His precepts that we need to really consider. And when I started thinking about it, who is God? God created all this stuff. He created you and I. And who are we to try to distort His Word or try to turn it around and make it fit our lives? Who are we? And it really became real. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 20. And it starts out with the Ten Commandments. And if these are there, and I found out that I couldn't even get through the Ten Commandments, you know? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Can you quote them? Can you quote them? Huh? Verse 20. Because I see that God is wanting to do some things. I've seen some miracles already. I've seen some healings already since this conference started. I've been set and seen people get set free of many, many things. And when I pray for somebody, I have a hard time remembering your name. And so if I have a hard time remembering your name, I'm surely going to have a hard time remembering all the demons that come off you. You know? And so, but the thing about it is I want to see you set free. Set free indeed. Because it don't make the difference. God sees you in a different light. He sees a righteous person. He sees a person that He wants to bring from one estate to another estate. So, let's start with those kind of thoughts right there, because I know that God's wanting to do something. Let's go to verse 3. Chapter 20, verse 3 in Exodus. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. How many people in here has ever had a god that they worshipped? I'm holding my hand up. Food is one. Any kind of craft, any kind of drugs, any kind of person. You can worship your son, your daughter. You can worship your mother, your father. You can worship other ministers. I want to be like them. I want, you know. So, who is your God? At one time, thank God that we are changing little by little right now, because our theme of worship is coming more to the Elohim, to Jehovah, to God, to Jesus. And then another sobering thought I come into, if Jesus was with God and His name was the Word and was manifested and become flesh, but just think about the Word was manifested. He wrote it. How are you going to change that? How are you going to change that? You can't change it because it's written. He set some laws into eternity, and He will not change them. Because if He changed them, He'd be a liar. And God is not a liar. You ever thought about that? So these things became sobering to me. Really sobering to me. That what kind of God did I have before me? A long time that I had a God of horses. I breathed, ate, rode, shod, broke. All that was consumed with horses. Then one day I had a lady manifest on me like a horse, and she was pawing like this and started at me, and I had to hold her back and bind that spirit of the horse off me. And she said, "Man, what was that?" Then we dealt with four other horses that she had in her life. But I'm telling you, we have gods that we don't even realize we have. Verse 4, "Thou shalt not make any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters underneath the earth." How many trinkets do we have sitting on our shelves today? How many trinkets do we have sitting on our shelves? I know people that go around and collect those little figurines of angels, you know, those little Cupid angels. Could you have brought a demon into your house? Not could you, I most certainly did. These jade ornaments you get from the Orient, you know, these little elephants and things of that nature. Am I standing on somebody's sacred cow? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But these jade ornaments that come from the Orient, these guys, they craft this stuff and they speak over them. Paul got in a lot of trouble talking and talking about the silversmith, and they stoned him to death. Well, my name's Stone, so it's fitting, so, you know. But having a little lightness about it. But this is serious business, folks. This is serious business. Because what you really do, you start worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And that's where it gets into the problem. You start worshiping the craftsmanship. I have got the best teapot that England could make. It's gold trimmed. It's got the most ornate little top on it. Oh, and it brews the best tea. Nobody can make tea like this little pot, you know? And so, how many gods have we created and we don't even realize it? And I started having problems with this thing. I started having problems with it. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow thyself unto them or to serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children, unto the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. We've got generational curses that follows us and says, and they that hate. Have you ever looked up the word hate? Hate is the word murder. Now, how many of our parents hated God? We've dealt with some people right now that said, well, I've prayed, and God didn't do nothing. What do you got going on there? Are you trying to tell God what to do? Or they were telling God what to do? See, we don't tell Him. We need to submit, change our lifestyles, and God will honor it in that fashion. But if we sit there and we're trying to witchcraft God, well, I'll make a deal with you, God. If you'll get me out of this fix, or if you'll get me up off this bed of sickness, or out of this car that just been wrecked, I'll serve you. That's making deals. That's making deals with God. And you're winding up in witchcraft. That's not a good place to be. I'd rather be on the side, if God be for me, who could be against me? But if we're against God, we're on the losing end right then at that moment. I guarantee you for a fact. But our generational people came before us. I didn't even realize that my mother and father had cursed me. But, you know, back in the day when I grew up, there was not a whole lot of medication around because I didn't even know it, but we was in poverty. And to get medication was kind of hard to come by. You know, and so what my mother and father do, they would go down to the nearest liquor store, your wine, beer, and spirits, and get a jug of brandy, bring it home, and make me a hot toddy and get me so soused, and then chunk me into bed where I wouldn't be bawling and squalling. And that happened when I was a toddler. Now, how many of you have been done that way? The next thing is what's going on. I didn't have no problem with alcohol. I was raised in the church. I slept under the front pew. I was a good little Baptist boy, and I never went to any Pentecostal churches until I become 11 years old and I wound up a Pentecostal in a Baptist church, and the preacher didn't know what to do with it, so he sent me back. But see, this curse was already on me by my generational curse of this hot toddy doing a good thing. Well, by when I got about 19 years old, the first drink I ever took of alcohol, I mean really alcohol, guess what happened to this fella? I was instantaneously alcoholic. Because I've been set up. My parents, my mother didn't drink, my daddy did, my grandpa did, my grandma did, on both sides. So the alcoholic thing was in my generation. And so one day after the big drunk, my head was about this big around, and all of a sudden I was sitting in a room in a 14x14 bedroom, and it was a Sunday morning. I had my hands on my head on my hands on my knees. And there was a voice that said, Tom, it's time for you to turn around. I turned around and there was no man in the room. I didn't have to ask who that was because I knew I was going the wrong direction. And then he started, the little lady that went to the well and was asked to get a drink of water, and Jesus told her all about her life. I had a visitation. God told him all about my life. And I would like and dearly love that to happen to everybody in this room. Because you would realize that they are a God that cares about you. A lot of it just sometimes it's almost like a figment of our imagination that God is out there because our parents, our fathers didn't treat us like we would like to be treated. So as we related to our earthly father, then we have a hard time relating to our godly father, our spiritual father. And so we got to make this transition. And so, did the curse come across the bloodline? Do you understand what I'm saying? We confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and our Savior, but then we get on this side of salvation, and then we have all kinds of problems because there's a room full of us right now. I was here. I've got a problem, and I know Jesus can take care of that problem. So I started looking at the curses and started looking at other things. I started looking at the Ten Commandments and how it all came together. In verse 6, and showing mercies unto the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. And this is not only the only place that this is. It's all through the Bible. It's all in the New Testament. Keep my commandments. Keep my statutes. Keep my judgments. And he says, I come not to destroy the law, not to change it one jot nor tittle, not to forget to cross one T, not to forget to dot one I. And we have troubles with the word commandments or laws. They are spiritual laws there that we don't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you break one of them, it will have an effect on your life. Here's one that a lot of people are dealing with today. There's an outpouring of diabetes today. How many people in here really love themselves? And the Lord says to love thyself as thy brother, or love thy brother as thyself. If you can't love yourself, how can you love your brother? Then if you hate yourself and you resent yourself, you reject and you're bitter, guess what comes upon you? You open the door to Pandora's box and diabetes comes in and walks right in and knocks on your door and say, hello, I'm here to serve you. We've got to come back to the will of God. We cannot go our own way. We cannot go our way. He says, keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not, what? Hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, I'm not talking about just blankety blank, you know, GD this and GD that, God forgive me. I'm not talking about that. But you can take his name in vain, what he says, and go against his word, and you're taking his name in vain. And it got quiet in here. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to change some things in our Cro-Magnon, in our thinking. Because anytime you get mad at somebody that's ahead over you, women, men alike, if you get mad, especially, I've seen this over and over with women that get mad at their husband. Yeah, that might be a sorry, ungodly rascal that come in drunk and all this, but guess what? It opens you up to strokes. It opens you up to strokes because anger is the door for any spirit or curse to enter in. Idolatry, because you're setting yourself up. How dare you disobey my authority, what I told you to do, with this hands on their hips and this chin poked out and this forward look up on their face. And come on in, all you things. Just come on in. And see, this is just the Ten Commandments. Now it says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But then what day is today? If you're in Australia, what day is it? Huh? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday, or is it Wednesday or Thursday? You know, so what God wants to really, I think, really wants to hone in right there, that we need to treat every day as the same in our minds, will, and emotion. What do you think about all day long? How do you conduct your mouth? Every idle word will be held accountable to us. Do we really realize what we're saying there, or has been spoken to us? No, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. What temple are you? If you defile that temple, Galatians chapter 3, it says, I, God, will allow a destroying spirit to come and destroy your body. How serious is it? How serious is it? Adam refused to tell his wife not to eat of that fruit, and death entered in. If we are created in the image of God, do we not have that same responsibility to hear His Word, obtain that Word, and go His way? But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for His mercy. In verse 12, it says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon this land which the Lord God hath given thee. This is the first law with a gift to it. Long life. Now, if you dishonor your parents, what do you think will happen? Your days are shortened. First off, we were supposed to live for 120 years. And if you start out from day one and really live the principles of God, we could live to that 120, and it should be just a click, click, click. And I mean to have all our faculties. That don't mean that you're going to be in a nursing home for the last 20 years. That means that you'll have your vision, you'll have your hearing, you'll have all your teeth, you'll have all the hair that's on your head, and you'll be able to walk and talk and function as a normal person. But I've got to confess, I walked out from underneath God's covering. I got aches and pains on aches and pains sometimes. Anybody in here don't have an ache and pain? I don't see no hand goes up. So how many of us have been cursed in areas that we don't even realize? See? We've all had a dose of it. All of us have a dose of it. But you know, just like in Deuteronomy chapter 28, has anybody ever really sat down to read chapter 28 of Deuteronomy? Verse 15 verses is all the blessings. And we want to stay there. All over in Leviticus. There we go. The cursings. We don't want to go there. But I would rather prophesy or be prophesied. Vito, you're going to have a great ministry. You're going to go from here to Rome, and it's in the finest jets. I'm taking you places, you know, and that's the kind.
Praise the Lord.
I would too. But nobody wants to say, repent or change your ways, or this is going to happen. But we need the gall, not gall, but the tenacity, the integrity, to be able to speak to that person and say, if you don't change your ways, this is going to happen. That's a true prophet. Nobody wants that kind of prophet to visit them. Because I want to tell you something, there's fear falls in that office when that happens, because that word goes forth and it takes hold and it performs what it said. And it, sometimes it may take a day, may take an hour, it may take a week, but it will be performed. We were standing right here one time, and I kind of judge prophets to a great deal. And I was sitting right there, in those two seats right there, Diane and myself, and this lady was in here, and she was ministering with music, and her husband was going to preach, and so all of a sudden she got up, and she came over to us, and she said, both of you are desired to do something. And I looked at my wife, and I said, have you desired to do something? And I drew a blank. And then she said, and this is going to happen very quickly, and you will know it is God. I said, the money will be there, the food will be there, the lodging will be there. And you know something? And we found ourselves in another state within a week or two. And we spoke to this church. We had a three-day seminar. And revival comes to that church. And the church was brought alive. Because there were so many curses in there. I'm talking about, there was a husband that was sitting here. And he had three wives sitting over on the other side of the church. And they were married to other men. And their wives were sitting over here. I'm talking about, this was a mess. And repentance came. And deliverance came. And the church flourished. Now that I call was a prophet, because yes, I have a desire to see set people free, but I never dreamed to see myself in another state. Although it's happened, I mean, God could do anything He wants to. I mean, one day we decided we was gonna. My wife said, "I would like to have a crock." So we get in our car, and I said, "Lord, we designate this trip to You in Jesus' name," and we found ourselves in Lonkers, Pennsylvania, and we bought a crock over there. But what happened was, out came behind the counter a little Amish girl that had taken off her covering, and she invited us into her house and said, "I was always wanting to be a bed and breakfast, and you're my first customer." And we ministered to them, and God moved in. So, who knows what's going to happen? See, we got to change our thoughts, our minds, our attitudes towards Him. We were not worshiping the crock, but we said, "God, here we are. Here we are. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, glorify You. in Jesus' name. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 for a moment. Usually, there's no children here today, so everybody's adult. Is everybody adult in this room? Okay. Hey. At least, if you're not, grow up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we need to be set free. We need to be set free. And it says, in the King James Version, it says, if you uncover, that means to have sex with. And you look at that right there in the name of Jesus. And then, kind of floating off that thought, Leviticus chapter 18, say 5. Let's go right there for a minute. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which is a man do, and shall live in them, and I am your God. None of these shall approach any of their nearest kinmen to uncover. See that word uncover in verse 6 there? Now, what I'm reading out of King James. What word is translated there in some of your Bibles? Nakedness? Yeah. Well, it's to have sex, really. See? Uncover their nakedness, because the nakedness is the next word in my Bible. It says, uncover their nakedness. So, to have sex with them. And that's what that means right there. Verse 8, it says, the nakedness of thy father's wife shall be thou uncover the nakedness of thy father's nakedness. Here, now, think about that. Now, who was cursed by Noah? Who? No, it was Cain. Not Ham. Cain. Canaan. You read it real close. Now, who was Canaan's mother? We know who his father was, but this verse right here, verse 8, tells you who his mother was. Because they was in a drunken orgy. The curse that's out there that our people are under today is being born into an incest situation. That's the curse. It supersedes every bloodline. It supersedes every place. It was cursed by your parents. A lot of people tell you, well, so-and-so has been cursed. They're a slave. There are slaves in every nationality there is, bar none. The Jews were slaves. The Israelites were slaves. You don't pay your money today and you wind up a slave. So we've been cursed, guys. And we don't even realize what's happening to us. But I'm going to tell you right now, do you want to become sons of the living God? A manifested son of the living God? We need to study to show thyself approved, to know every jot and tittle in this word, because then when you get in a battle, then you've got the discernment, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, bam, this is it. It's no tricks. It's no tricks. It's laying down your life to what the word says. And it says, the gates of hell is wide. Wider than this room. I guarantee you, you could put 1,000 people abreast and walking right into hell today. But how many is entering into the kingdom of heaven? And we need to be entering in it today, in this very room. And we felt God's presence here, because the ones that's been delivered this morning, and in the groups, hey, have you felt God's been there and touched you? That's the reality. That should be a norm. This other stuff that's happening today within churches is all a farce. Not my word, but that's a good one. It's a tragic disaster. The tickle-me syndrome problems is out there. Wanted to hear that fancy prophecy Vito received and said, it's mine. Yeah, the fancy one. Yeah, it was a good one. But what I'm saying is, we have megabucks and megachurches out there that will never even mention the word sin. But I'm telling you right now, all of us are sinners, saved by grace. But the thing about it is, the salvation comes in is when, hey, I done this. God, forgive me. If I've taken, lied, cheated, stole, misused, abused, anything, I guarantee anything, it's better to confess it right now and lose that. You'll get your integrity back. You'll get a certain amount of, I don't know, can you have pride and still be saved? I mean, a certain amount of, yeah, difficult. All right, well, I won't go there then. Integrity. I'm going to leave it at integrity. All right. I'm going to leave it at, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Perfection or, yeah. To be ye holy, as I am holy, says the Lord. Come to maturity. I miss that word perfection, so that's, you know, that's another pride word. But God wants us to come up to where God has a destiny for each one of us to go to. And He wants us to see our potential in Him. Because each one of us should be ministers to Christ, should be able to go to any church and be able to minister life to the individuals there. But it's a pouring out of yourself and let God come back in. It's a pouring out. I used to be a religious spirit. I used to beat on people's doors and they said, oh no, here comes that preacher, Tom Stone. And I was seeing nothing happen, Jim. Nothing. No salvation. Nobody coming to church. Nothing. But I thought I was doing all God good, you know. I had to get some self poured out. And I was probably worse. I was probably worse than the people I was knocking on the doors, because I didn't have nothing to give them. I needed to be saved. And you can't give away something you don't have. But once you've got Jesus, whew, once you've got Him, you got a lot. You got a lot. But it goes down through here in chapter 18, a lot of things. We really need to read all that. They're talking about nearest kinsmen and who is supposed to. What time are we supposed to dismiss? 4:45? But we really need to read that. I mean, really read it. Because a lot of us, okay, a lot of us was in that position as kissing cousins. Did you have a little kissing girl cousin? Did you have a little kissing boy cousin? And how close? How far did things go? And we don't even really realize that we didn't even confess these things, and they needed to be confessed, that we really get the slate clean. When I started finding out about deliverance and the curses on me and my wife, we sat down in our front room, and she sat on one couch and I sat on the other, and 2.5 hours later, after we got through confessing things as the Holy Spirit brought us to us, I guarantee you, I come to one that was really, really weird. I was sitting there and it showed me all my generational curses, and there was a dog come in and grabbed me by my left calf. And I mean, this thing was hurting. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. And I started stomping my foot, trying to kick it off and kick it off like that, until I said, finally, in the name of Jesus, I renounce you, dog spirit. And my wife heard the thing. We opened the door and ushered it out. And I said, what is a dog spirit? What is a dog spirit? Not good. Because I come to find out, I started asking God, what's this dog spirit? It's a homosexual spirit. The dog. And I didn't know it. I was never homosexual. But I started getting phone calls and told him about cousin so and so removed and was living a gay life. One was a massage, run a massage parlor. And this is TMI, you know, too much information, you know. But I saw it. It was in my ancestry. What do you do with it? You can't change it. It's there. Get rid of it. Especially in you. Especially in you. Because I guarantee you, a perverse spirit is not a good thing to have. Not a good thing to have. It brings on confusion. Now, confusion, let's go to verse 23 in chapter 18, Leviticus. And Neither shalt thou lie with any beast, or defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast, or lie down thereto. It is confusion. That is confusion. But now what happens, is told to you right here, what happens is your DNA is changed. Confusion. Things happen. Things happen to your children, to your grandchildren, so on and so forth. I watched it in a dear lady that we loved so much, that some of these things happen about the kissing cousin situation and the brother things. I saw her firstborn attacked. I saw her second child be okay. But the firstborn of that child was in confusion. The next firstborn was in confusion. Curses passed down. Curses come passed down. Some of these people you had to lead by the hand and lead them in and out of the house. You think God's Word is real? God's Word is real. Hallelujah. I want to go to Matthew. Matthew. Vito touched on it the other day. It's the Lord's Prayer. But I want to... Same verse, same spirit, but we need to hear it. Repetition is one of the best teachers that you could ever have. You work on an assembly line, and you got one job, and you all of a sudden you get put on piecework, and you get proficient, and you, in other words, you take that piece of paper, and if it needs to be over here, and you'll take that piece of paper and lay it over exactly the same way. Because more pieces of paper hit this side, more money in your pocket. So repetition is a good teacher. It says verse 14, "And if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you. The Father forgive your trespasses." In other words, what you're saying is, no, I don't want to be healed of this disease. No, I don't want the financial blessings. No, I don't want this, and I don't want that. I don't want blessed children. I don't want blessed fathers. I don't want blessed mothers. I want to wind up in a church in this dark and dungeon. I want to go to the bar. I want to become a prostitute. You think those prostitutes sit down and decided to go out there and do that? No. Majority of the time, it's induced. It's induced to them as a child. Because if a man goes into their son, their daughter, it's called a spirit of the whore's forehead that comes up on them. And their little minds are just scattered out there. They are transforming love into sex. And it scatters their minds. It is real. It is real. The other day, he says, first you got to get the logs out of your eyes before you can get the logs out of your brothers. I was at your conference down there, and a little lady came in there, and she says, I asked her, what do you need? He says, I need healing. I says, I got little floaters in my eyes. You know? Those floaters are logs, folks. And I said, and the Holy Spirit said through me to that person, I didn't think of this. Guarantee you. Said, you've judged another man's ministry. Now I want you to just forgive him. And you know, she sat down and she started looking up the light, you know, and closing her eyes. And normally you could see them when you close your eyes and you see them in the inside of your eyelid. Because I've had them. Believe me. And I started checking myself. We need to be able to discern the Lord's body. So if we got these logs in our eye, just close your eyes and look up at the light. If you got those floaters in your eyes, you need to forgive some people. And she started down a list, and she forgave this one particular person. And we came from that meeting, and we came downstairs, and you know, she come running up to me and tapped me on the shoulder. They're gone. Really? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Ladies, we need to become who we say we are. You know, over there in the Corinthians, it talks about the Lord's supplements, the your wafer and your wine, and as long as you do this in remembrance of me. And a lot of them were what? Sick, asleep, for not discerning the Lord's body. So the whole thing is for the healing of your body. That's a healing scripture. So if we discern our bodies, before we do that, and we repent, healing should be automatically to us. And the churches have no idea what that's a deliverance message. Patty said I could get any scripture around and make a deliverance. I really understood. Hey, people, we need to understand. We need our eyes opened. We need discernment about what God is speaking to us about throughout the whole Word. How many of you in here bought a TV without the instructions? How many of you in here bought a washing machine or dryer without the instructions? How many of you bought a brand new car without the manual in the glove box? Huh? Now, the other thing is, you hit on the very point that I'm trying to make right now. Have you ever read it? The Book of Life. It's the manual to you. It is the manual to you and to your families. We need to get in touch with the manual. Jerry preaches it all the time. You know? It's the manual. The knees, the elbows, the eyes, the heels, the foot, the neck, the back, the hip joint, the thigh joint. All these are connected to this body, and it's called life as long as blood is flowing through it. And it says, and thou shalt, and even the food laws, thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Because in the blood is the life. And we dabble with that. You ever been to New Orleans? You ever ate Bonuda? That's blood sausage. That's blood sausage. You've gone against what God said. The Germans used to cook and call it blood pudding. Man, thank you, Lord. Phew, I got delivered that. I got delivered by it never being in my presence. So there's things that we do and do to our bodies that we should never, never, never do. Because our people perish for the lack of knowledge. And we're the perishing. And we're the perishing. And God wants us to be restored. You know, and there's some other areas. Now, God... Jesus was God. He went across the pond. He went to this place called Gadara. And who came out of the tombs? Huh? Yeah, that awful, stout, vile, tormented legions of demons. And then Christ started dealing with them. And they besought Christ a long time not to cast us out into dry places, but let us go into those unclean swine. We, as the United States, I know this is going to step on some sacred cows, go down there to McDonald's or to the barbecue place and just belly up to that hog all you want. Unclean. Sometimes you may not be fortunate enough to walk away from it. Because you mix anger and bitterness and unforgiveness with that hog meat and winds up with trigonosis. You see people's joints completely be blown apart. That's trigonosis. The Lord even started showing me, I can't prove it to you, but He started showing me people of different demeanor being real thick through the back. And He says, high on the hog, fat back. Started showing me people that are joined at the bellies, because both of them got big bellies. Started showing me big hips. They're joined at the hips. And their relationship's falling apart. We need to discern what God really says in the Word. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's alive. It is alive, and He wants you to live. And He wants you to live for eternity. But to do that is to have a relationship with Him. Do you really want to become a manifested son of God? God is so good. God is so good all the time, all the time. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. All right, I want to start. Let's go to verse 16 in chapter 5. This I say unto you, to walk in the Spirit, and ye not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh we have problems with. The lust of the flesh could be not only sexual situations, but for fleshly things, over cars, buying things, over your boss's possessions, over wealth, over these things. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. All right, if we're not able to do the things that we should with Christ, what do you think we could have a problem with? Lust. Lust. I want to be able to do what I should be doing with Christ. To do the things that I should do. You see that? Has anybody ever walked under to a conundrum, you know, an impasse, to a brick wall and can't go no further? This could be one of the things. This could be one of the things that's happening. Vain imaginations. We see ministers all over the place now running off with the secretaries and swapping wives and this and that and the other. What's going on? I don't. But people, I mean, but the normal church calls them the anointed. And they fall for their tricks and their... You know, they're all those things that they put out, false anointing. And the thing about it is, those people, those guys that are sitting behind a pulpit, they don't realize it, but there is a greater place in Hades already prepared for them. They need a good dose of salvation. And also the people that's listening to them. And get a good dose of getting their ears stepped on a little bit. Because I'm telling you what, I never could handle a preaching service that something didn't prick my heart or prick my spirit man. And I'm pretty sure that I've said something already that's kind of pricked some of you in here. But that's the intent. Jesus is a fence to the world. Let's go on. Verse 18. But if ye led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. What does it say? If we're walking in the Spirit of God, we're walking in the Spirit of knowledge and, you know, and the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment, we're walking in the unity and agreements to the Heavenly Father. That's when you walk in agreements to the Heavenly Father, that's when you start walking in the sonship of God. Agreeing with Him. And I'm telling you what, when you walk in agreements with the Heavenly Father and that's in that way, you have the source to the world's, the universe's greatest computer. You can ask Him of anything and He'll show you how to do it. And we don't have to go in there and tickle the ivories and look over this and that and that. You know, you pick it up and slide it over here and then you got to get into this website and into that website and blah. I don't know how to do it. I can plug one in because you can't plug it no other way. But I don't know how to use one of them. But I do know every question I've ever had a problem with, I've asked God. And He answers quickly. Before I tell somebody to go get a tool, and before he gets back with a tool, I've already been able to do the job. Now, we need a relationship. We need a relationship with Him. We need to know His Word from the front to the back. You want to get to know God? Start in Genesis and go through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. You'll start realizing God is a God that loves His people and will take care of His people, and He will protect His people, but also He will spank His children. I'm not going to lie to you. But the thing about it is, if we come into Christ, we shouldn't fear Him. Not in that way. The fear should be, oh, I haven't been able to hear my Father today. Now, if you haven't been able to hear Him today, then we got a conundrum, we got an impasse, we got a sin that we need to let the Holy Spirit search our minds, our will and emotions, that we can come to the crossroads and chop it out of the way. Put the battle axe to the situation. Axe to the Spirit. The root of the problem is going to be we walked away from Him. And God was not very far, because He's right there where you left Him. And He's probably even closer to that. Then you have these people who will say, well, nobody knows about this sin. Guess what? You were there. You know about it. God was there. He knows about it. Satan was there, because he's more than willing to point it out to you every time you turn around. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he is an expert at it. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. I can look at this pornography, and one minute you look at pornography, you're committing fornication. Adultery. How many adulterers do we have in here? Whew. Male and female. I'm telling you what, it's serious. It is serious. Because it tells you right on in the next verse here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifested. What does your Bible say? Does it say somewhat of that? You want these to manifest in your body? Because you walk it. Evident. Okay. Which of these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness? All these have to do with sex. Lust of the flesh. Verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft. We'll stop right there. Has anybody ever gotten mad here lately? If you don't do this, I'm going to get mad. When you say that, you don't even realize you just stepped right over into witchcraft. To control that person. You stepped over into idolatry. I'm God and you've got to obey me. How serious is this? It says witchcraft. Haters are hatred. That's murder. Variances, illuminations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You tell somebody, heresy, I'm going to take care of this, and they don't do that, you're heresy. You're lying to them. A lot of churches right today is speaking heresy to their people. It's okay that you do anything you want to. Just say, repeat after me. And there is no payment at all. There's no repercussions if you go against God's law. I'm here to tell you, I feel different. And I'm in agreement with God. Things will happen. There is things that happen. You know, they're trying to find a cure for cancer today. God had it a long time ago. He says, forgive. There's one verse, we'll go back to this here in a minute, but there's one verse in the Bible that says, woe unto them give a suck in the last days. That's meaning two women get mad at each other. One will not forgive the other and wind up with breast cancer. They refuse to forgive. Just like we talked about, that we repented about all our sins. Well, later on in life, my sister, she had a daughter-in-law that she didn't think was good enough for her son. She wouldn't even sit in the same room with her. 13 nodules and her left breast later. No, nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. The mentality of the United States today is I can go down here to this temple. This temple is called a hospital. They can put us in imitation death. And we can sacrifice any organ we want to and come out of there and be okay. People that lose their gallbladders. The spirit of gall. Jesus called Andrew and he says, surely a man with no gall. And he didn't have gall. He didn't have any problems with anybody. But if we got problems and we just stay in hatred and revenge, I'm going to get even with them. I swear this, I'm going to get even with them. You're in a wrong spot. Are they not, Jerry? The Bible says not to swear. To repent. To repent, to forgive means that I will not take them to court of law. Whatever's happened to you. Whatever's happened to you. Verse 21, enviers, murderers, drunkenness. I was this guy in this drunkenness. And I want to tell you something. It didn't make no difference how intoxicated I got. God continued to speak to me. I could be holding to a telephone pole, slobbering, drunk as could be, and He would not let me go because He was always convicting me. But I was ignorant and stupid and continued to do it. But thank God Jesus Christ died for me that I might go free. Drunkenness, rivalry, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they that which do such things shall not, what does your scripture say? Inherit what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and the Holy Ghost. That means there will be no discernment to you. There will be no words of knowledge. There will be no gifts of healing. There will be no prophecy. There will not be any ability to really preach the Word of God. Now, you want to turn away all the gifts of God. You check out these verses right here. And if you've any part of it, if you dabbling or has any inkling or any word that can connect you with these words, repentance is required. Repentance is required. And you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not be around the throne room. You will not enter into His holy of holies. I want to see Jesus. Forget all my ancestors. I might be prideful or lustful or whatever you want to call it, but I would like to see Christ. Because I know what He's done for me. And I know what He can do for me in the future. And I know what He's doing right now for me. Right now. Because as I'm speaking to you, I check my mind also at the same time. Does your mind ever shut down? Do you not dream? Even at nighttime, your mind never shuts down. A lot of times you'd want it to. If you got sleep apnea, start repenting. Forgiving. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. The best way to whip sleep apnea is get up and start reading the Word. Guarantee it. You won't read two verses. But He says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Let's back up just a minute. Do we have any fruit? Do we have any love? Here's a good test for you. Just find out if you got any love. Go down to the store and buy you a little plant. And take it home and keep it alive. Not to worship it, but if you care for that little plant, can you not care for a human being? Do you have joy? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Can you go anywhere in this country and lay down and go to sleep? In a building, outside the building, down by the creek bank, and go to sleep? Saw some logs. As I'm telling you, there are some tests, some simple tests that you can start trying to discern your own body. Discern your own spiritual walk with God. Long-suffering. Do you have long-suffering? I got a son next door that really checks me on this one. Really checks me. Sometimes I want to wring his neck. Why don't you do something different than what you're doing? And he knows it, you know. But I still love him. I'm still concerned about him. I want him to be able to have as much as I have or more than I have. I want for him to reach his potential, his destiny in the Lord. He's got a calling on his life. His wife's got a calling on his life. On her life. And I want more for my children. But not also not always in the flesh. I'd love to have them have more spirit and more a stronger connection, because I'm going to become feeble one day. Yeah, I know. That's nature. I mean, there. Those words says there is a day when the night comes and you cannot work. It could be any part of that. I mean, you could tag that verse to anything. But I'm telling you what, as long as you got breath, as long as you got your right mind, we need to be able to war in the Spirit. To war in the Spirit. Because you did anybody enlist in this situation for 1 year? Anybody in here sign up for just 1 year in deliverance? Got a bunch of draft dodgers? Anybody just list up for 2 years? Any lifetime? A lifestyle? Really? Yeah. It says, by your conversation. That means lifestyle. What you say. What you say is what you get. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us use diverse vain glory, provoking one another to envy one another. Just do not envy one another. I told my boss, he sold a bank, and it was for a tremendous amount of money. I said, I wouldn't want your responsibility. I says, because all that money that you got now, you worried on how to keep it. And I told him also, I said, there's people saying, they come to him and they want to do a job. Oh, he's a wealthy man, we can charge you and just rip him up one side down the other. I said, that's not right. Because everybody in the United States with the American dream has the potential to get to any level they want to. It's just how much work you want to put into it. And by the way, this Christian walk is not a pyramid, not a pyramid situation. Not a pyramid. But I'm going to tell you something about the old walk. The old timers that I grew up under, you had to be sitting here not just 1 year, not just 2 years, not just 3 years, not just 4 years, not just 5 years, not just six, not seven, not eight, not nine, not ten. I'm talking about you had to prove yourself. Is there any proving? There's a proving time in God. And a lot of times you come and you say, well, this speaker is not this and that, and well, this person don't pray. I don't know. Well, maybe there's something in you that needs to come on out of there. And we came and we listened. And every message that we heard was not a flowery one. But we had to endure. Do you want to endure today? Do you want to face the trials in a godly principle? And I guarantee you, any of the older folks, they can tell you the same thing. Because as long as you're sitting there and you're listening to that, you're getting discernment what that person needs from the pulpit. I hope I passed the test. I hope I passed the test. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we just praise you. Everybody stand up just for a moment. Get a little blood flowing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and glorify you. Lord, we just thank you and glorify you right now as a priest unto you. And the people right now have been placed in my care by the authority of the leadership of Lake Hamilton. I bind and break the power and authority of this satanic spirits over you right now in Jesus' name. I break every hex, vex, spell, every curse right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it's got to go. Okay, everybody just sit down. Okay, in the old school, they taught us not to cross our legs, not to fold our hands or cross our fingers. You know, like the old game is, you know, I'm free, you know. Remember? King's X's, you know, I'm free. You know, I'm not it. But they taught us this way to sit comfortably and not touch nobody, because the Lord wants to do some things. And we just want you to be free as you can be. I'm talking about free as much as God wants to set you free. And because as time approaches, the more the Word's going to be enlightened to you, and I want the scales to be pulled down off your eyes that you could see the Word like God wants to show it to you. And because we've been walking in a closet and there was no light, we've been walking with sunglasses on in the dark room. And we needed the scales pulled off of our eyes. And I thank you and I praise and I glorify you in Jesus' name. Now, to help each other, I always encourage us to just take a big deep breath and blow it out when I start calling out spirits. And then that way that won't embarrass anybody. But I want to tell you something. It's better to get rid of your demons because you'll get your integrity back. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind every spirit of warlock, every spirit of witch, every hexvex spell, any incantations right now in Jesus' name. I command it to be broken right now in Jesus' name. I break the power and authority of idolatry, all idolatry. God, why did you do this? How come you let this happen? I bind it, break the power and authority of it. And everybody just take a big, deep breath in Jesus' name. Because we could have said it, you know, yesterday or when we was a teenager and never confessed this. I bind the power and authority of idolatry right now in Jesus' name. I break it, command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. All idolatry in Jesus' name. All lusting after things right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lusting after maidservants. I bind and break your power. Lusting after manservant. Boy, that guy's a good mechanic. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Command to loose you in Jesus' name. I break and command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. All of it, let it go. Let it go. Just blow it out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break all incest right now in Jesus' name. When you was toddlers, in the name of Jesus, before maturity. Show and tell. I break and command it loose you right now in Jesus' name. Go. All show and tell. I bind and break the power and authority of man and loose you right now in Jesus' name. Loose them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. In Jesus' name. Because there could have been somebody wanting to do this to you in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of rape in the name of Jesus. All rape spirits in the name of Jesus. You've seen good-looking men walk down the street with tight jeans and said, wow, that's raping them. And you looked at women the same way, that's raping them. I bind that spirit of rape right now in Jesus' name. Command to loose you right now in Jesus' name. Come out of them. All of the rape spirits, come out right now in Jesus' name. All pedophile spirits in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. I bind you and break your power and command to loose you in Jesus' name. Pedophile, come out right now. All religious spirits in Jesus' name. I'm better than that, and I'm so-and-so. I'm a minister of the gospel. I bind those religious spirits in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Come on out right now in Jesus' name. Move up, come out. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We break every generational curse right now. It's came down the bloodline in Jesus' name. I break all hexes, vexes, spelled in voodoo in Jesus' name. All witchcraft that come from your mother-in-law, in Jesus' name. All witchcraft that came from your grandma, I pull it out. I bind and break the power and authority of it. Command to loose you right now. Come out right now, in Jesus' name. All witchcraft, in Jesus' name. Move up and come out right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out from your great-great-grandma, in Jesus' name. Break it and command to loose you now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All voodoo, all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, be gone right now. All pornography, I speak to you right now. Pornography, in Jesus' name. You spirit of adultery, in Jesus' name, go. Go right now, in Jesus' name. Fornication, go right now, in Jesus' name. Look at the internet. Binding, commanding all internet spirits right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many people stay on texting all the time? Worshipping that phone, in Jesus' name. Just never, never being able to be still and talk to God. In Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of texting right now, in Jesus' name. That spirit of Twitter, in the name of Jesus, go right now. Leave up. Move up and come out right now, in Jesus' name. All these things, in Jesus' name. Move up and come out right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. All insecurity. I bind the spirits of insecurity right now. Go. Come out right now. Insecurity, I bind you and break your power and command and loose it in Jesus' name. Insecurity right now. Go. In Jesus' name. Having to get up and go to the refrigerator after you've done an eight. I bind you and command you and loose you. That's insecurity. Not knowing to do what to do with yourself. Go right now. All spirits of abandonment. Go right now in Jesus' name. Sometimes you've been abandoned in Jesus' name. In relationships and divorces, you've been abandoned by the mate in Jesus' name. Sometimes your parents have abandoned you. Sometimes your mother has abandoned you. Maybe you abandoned a child. I speak to that abandonment in every facet of abandonment right now. Go. Come out of you right now. Come out right now in Jesus' name. All of it. Move up and come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you in Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And praise you in Jesus' name. All spirits of addiction. Addiction in Jesus' name. Go to drugs in Jesus' name. Pharmakia of any kind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now. Even medical drugs that people has been put on, Ritalin, in Jesus' name, been put on all kinds of sleeping medicine. I bind that spirit right now in Jesus' name. Can't sleep without taking drugs. Go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. I bind and command loose you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All heart medicine. Go. Go right now in Jesus' name. All heart attacks. Heart attacks right now. Broken hearts. What this amounts to is a broken heart. Because you've been hurt in the past. In Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of brokenheartedness right now. Heart attacks, I speak to you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All strokes, anger, rage, wrath. Go. In Jesus' name. Come out right now. Varicose veins, I speak to you. Go. Right now. In Jesus' name. Come out of the back of your legs. Come out from behind your knees right now. In Jesus' name. Move up. Come out right now. Anger, rage, wrath. Go. Right now. Self-hatred. Along with that, in Jesus' name, the clotting of the blood. Come out right now. High cholesterol. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Move up and come out. Move up and come out right now. All diabetes, come out right now. Diabetes, go right now. Rage, anger, self-hatred, self-resentment, guilt. In Jesus' name, go. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of these are the vials that's being poured out in the last years. In Jesus' name, by the way. I command it to be broken in Jesus' name. I set these people free by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Muscular dystrophy. In Jesus' name. Anybody been diagnosed with muscular dystrophy? In Jesus' name. Rejection from your father. I bind and break the power and authority of that in the name of Jesus. You've been rejected from your earthly father? I bind and break the power and authority of that in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out right now. In Jesus' name. Move up and come out. Move up and come out right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Been rejected from a husband? In Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's something about a man that if they rejects the woman, it opens up Pandora box to their help. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now. Because the man is put over the priesthood of the family. Come out right now in Jesus' name. All this attacks the woman right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break the power and authority of it. Command to loose them right now. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out. Come out right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise and glorify right now. In Jesus' name. You know, every spirit, there's a spirit that is attached to every disease that's in this earth right now. Because one man, death entered in. It started then. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, when it's applied, it's canceled. You don't have to die for your mother's and father's sins or their diseases. Because a buck can stop here. You can turn. You can repent for them sins. And matter of fact, we need to repent for our father's sins and our ancestral sins. If you know what your mother and father's sins are, you need to lift them up. My mother she had learning disabilities. I bind and break the power and authority of learning disability. My father was a drunk. I bind and break the power and authority of that drunken spirit in Jesus' name that it didn't come down on me. But see, I didn't know to do this, and it did. I bind and break the power of all drunken spirits right now in Jesus' name. All alcoholic spirits. All drug spirits. We've got babies coming galore right now that's already addicted to cocaine, crack, whatever. In Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. It's still a spiritual drunkenness in Jesus' name. All slothful in Jesus, sluggard spirits in Jesus' name. Lazy. Come on out of there right now in Jesus' name. Refusing to do what God wants you to do. I bind and break the power and authority. Come out of them right now in Jesus' name. Come out of them right now in Jesus' name. Move up and come out right now in Jesus' name. Step up and take your position in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All spiritual unforgiveness. I bind and break the power and authority of unforgiveness in any area, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break and command and loose you. Even if it's prejudice, go. All prejudice spirits, go right now in Jesus' name. You come out of them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because they fight the same battles you do. In Jesus' name, go. We're a human race. We're the human race. In Jesus' name, go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All people who cheat the government, I bind the spirit of cheating the government right now in Jesus' name. Tax evasion, Jesus' name. Jesus says, suffer to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Bind and break the power and authority. And Jesus, I cancel that assignment that when you do cheat the government, they find out the retaliation is not too good. Because sometimes the penalty for that is 22, 24, on up, percentile that's tagged to that. Yep. In Jesus' name. And it all goes to the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and whoever. So if you don't want to owe them folks, you be honest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because I'm telling you what, if we be honest with God, He'd be honest with us. We will live a productive life. I speak to all poverty spirits right now in this room, right now. In Jesus' name. Poverty, I speak to you, go. Right now, in Jesus' name. Empty purse, I break that curse right now in Jesus' name. Go. Come out right now in Jesus' name. Lord, just reveal to them right now in the areas that they need to step up. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind that critical spirit that goes onto the job. Well, I do more work than they do. I should receive a pay, a higher wage than they do. I do more work. None of your business what that other person does. It's what you do. I bind and break the power and authority in the name of Jesus. Go right now. You poverty spirit, go right now in Jesus' name. You might be the best worker that there is. And if you've got a sorry work record, in other words, well, I got to take off today, then I got to take off tomorrow or next day, and you're not there, you may be the best worker in the plant. But if you're not there, you're not worth a flip to them. See, we curse ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot in Jesus' name. Go, all of it right now in Jesus' name. The stability of the mind. Lord, I speak integrity back to the body of Christ right now in Jesus' name. And if you say you can do it, be able to do it in Jesus' name. Don't be pulling nobody's leg or string or no wire pulling or, you know, what I'm saying is telling I can do something and you can't. Jesus, a misrepresentation is fraud. Fraud, lying, whatever. I bind that spirit of lying, fraud. Come out of those folks right now in Jesus' name. Come out right now in Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you and glorify you right now. God, thank you for ministering to the people right now. Lord, fill them up with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness in Jesus' name. Now, I command jobs to be created where there is no jobs for the people that are out of work. I bind that job to them right now in Jesus. All across the internet that's listening right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Jesus, create jobs where there are no jobs. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. And also we bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies, Lord, that we can maintain and continue the work that you'd have us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. And they all said, Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.